Good evening. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program many of you know and trust. It is now September 12th when you're hearing this program. This is Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly. My co-host Lou Caverly and I could hardly believe that yesterday, September 11, 2019, marked the 18th anniversary of the unprecedented attack in America's homeland. Just as with the deep state events of today, nothing happened the way it was told by the mainstream media. Two nights ago, Fox News' Laura Ingraham featured the panel of lawyers Joe DeGeneva and Alan Dershowitz. Ingraham remarked, "No one else here would have had this panel." She was certainly correct about the courage she exhibited in bringing out incisive commentary about the latest MSM story about an American CIA spy in Russia, supposedly called home because of endangerment from Trump's so-called Russian collusion activities. Strangely, American media even provided a name and an address in the public domain for this person. Any would-be attacker could now invade the privacy of this person's home and life. DeGeneva cut through what he deemed fiction like a machete through wilted, weakened jungle grass. He commented that this highly unusual step of the CIA, commenting publicly that the MSM story was, quote, inaccurate, pointed out the high possibility of the story being a fraud. First of all, he said, when the CIA brings an operative home, he or she is hidden forever, the rest of their lives, forgotten by everyone else while they're protected somewhere in the USA. Providing the name and address is completely opposite to this usual CIA tactic. DeGeneva's analysis was that former CIA chief John Brennan probably had his deep state fingers all over this and should be arrested. Like many others, Lou and I wonder why Brennan and Clapper, at least until we have heard lately, still had their security clearances. We thought they were supposed to be taken away. Rumor was that present CIA chief Gina Haspel was not amused, as well she shouldn't be. And so the maniacal obsession of the left and their MSM Get Trump continues.
Yes, Elizabeth. You've also recently brought the stories of the Washington Post headline in the Drudge Report that President Trump is considering using the Chinese social credit score here in the United States. Despite the horrific tyranny, 1.4 billion Chinese live under with this credit score tyranny. Many not allowed to travel, and some put in murderous labor camps because of their political or religious views. A new program under a new agency, HARPA, H-A-R-P-A, I guess this is DARPA's evil twin, would operate with, one, data surveillance of the listening mechanisms of Google, Samsung, and so on, including Echo, Alexa, and Fitbit, and two, NIH, CDC, and other federal agency psychiatrists, along with Big Pharma, to peruse the surveillance data to implement the red flag gun laws. If someone raises his voice, sounds too emotional in his own home, he might well be targeted to have the red flag law take his guns away. Already in Maryland, a 60-plus-year-old man was killed when the stormtroopers arrived under Maryland's draconian state red flag law. It is being said that Ivanka Trump and Trump's friend Robert Wright, who has some business interests that coincide with the Harvard plan, are enthusiastically presenting this to Trump. After Trump's wonderful North Carolina rally speech and the resulting Republican victories, plus all our president's victories lately, including the record unemployment figures, the booming economy, the moral stand against Planned Parenthood's power base, and the heartening will to get us out of the Afghan war quagmire. Witness John Bolton's beneficial exit. Trump would be crazy to say or think one more word about the Harper plan. To implement it would alienate all thinking 2020 voters. Such evil as tyranny, equal to any of Hitler or Mao or Stalinist plans.
You are so right, Lou. And you know, everything has a precedent. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Dr. Dennis Cuddy, in his book Mental Health Screening, 2005, documented how President George W. Bush established the New Freedom Initiative. Some of you out there probably remember that term, the New Freedom Initiative. And that was back in the days of TIA, the Transformational whatever Awareness, I believe, something like that. Do you remember what I is, Lou? I can't think about it.
No, right now. I can't remember what that stands for.
Anyway, it's, you know, we forget these terms because we want to forget them. So at any rate, George W. Bush's presidency, during that time, we had this New Freedom Initiative. And this was according to a subcommittee report, February 5th, 2003. Recommendations were to screen children from birth to 5 years old for social and emotional development. And now, Big Pharma, with its antidepressant and antipsychotic drugs, would play a big role. Cuddy's words of analysis certainly fit. They just fit right in with the current HARPA, listening to take your guns, big tech surveillance giants like Google and Amazon, plus NIH, CDC, and Big Pharma, attack thugs on the prowl. Cuddy says, by defining mental health problems in ever broader terms, the power elite will be able to include ever-increasing numbers of Americans deemed to be in need of, quote, mental health care. This will provide the power elite with grounds for limiting such people's freedom, thus enabling the power elite to pay attention to bring on their one-world government. So, you know, I think that's everything, again, you know, old is new, again.
That's right. And Fox's News commentator Tucker Carlson recently powerfully exposed Walmart's plan to stop selling some handgun ammunition. Carlson pointed out the sad irony that behemoth, Chi-Com globalist, big-box store Walmart was responsible for many, many small rural mom-and-pop stores closing. After Walmart betrayed small-town America this way, now it is robbing their right to defend themselves. To do that, people in the country have to travel out of their area to buy ammunition, sometimes a long way off, too. Deep State's mainstream media control tentacles appear to even extend to some possible damage control by the usually impeccably patriotic Sean Hannity. For just a few nights after Tucker's Walmart piece, Hannity remarked, quote, "I love Walmart. I can get everything so much cheaper there than anywhere else," unquote. This is why Elizabeth and I are obeying the call we believe God made on our lives to be watchmen to warn all of you. We have no corporate sponsorships of any kind. We finance this program along with a few of you wonderful listeners who help us from time to time. America is in danger. With the open borders and Antifa, this is a pivotal crisis time. We don't like something we have heard, that supposedly no new border wall has been erected. InfoWars reports that only old existing walls have been repaired. We as Americans demand that President Trump's border wall promise proceeds to completion. You can hear us on WWCR 4.840 megahertz Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, on WWCR at 7.490 on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. at 7.490 megahertz. You can also hear us on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. and also repeating at 11 p.m. on Mondays. Our newest venue is KSTARTalkRadio.com. You can hear us there on Saturdays at 5 p.m., also Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit the website, kstartalkradio.com, to get a telephone number you can use to listen to our program. And if you happen to have unlimited telephone service, you can hear us for free. Or you can pay the usual rates that you would pay for any other long-distance calls. Again, the website to go to get that telephone number is kstartalkradio.com.
Yes, thank you, Lou. And September 11, 2001 was the infamous date we believe Almighty God began judgment on a sinful, unrepentant America. The face of Satan appeared to gloat over Ground Zero. The, quote, inside job was papered over, though having the TV commentator say Building 7 had already fallen and then see on TV the building actually begin to fall was pretty far out. Vice President Mike Pence was to be the speaker at the Flight 93 Memorial this year. Lou and I hope that as a good Christian man he honors the dead, but does not help to perpetuate the fabricated narrative. If he does, he will surely answer one day to God. And I will just give you a little sample out of the Bedford Gazette. Pence to speak on Wednesday at Flight 93 ceremony by Gazette staff, Shanksville. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt will deliver remarks at the 18th annual September 11th observance at the Flight 93 National Memorial on Wednesday. And here we get into the standard story. The 40 passengers and crew aboard United Airlines Flight 93, which crashed after leaving Newark, New Jersey, en route to San Francisco, are credited with thwarting a possible strike on the U.S. Capitol. And you see here we have the fiction that is perpetuated on the public. At this site, which is only about 40 air seconds from my childhood home where I grew up. Can you say Happy Hooligans or some other patriot airman who shot this plane down so it didn't get to the Capitol? That's what we really think happened because a very close family member talked to someone who said he saw it, the shoot down, the second plane. Some other Vietnam veterans around Shanksville who live nearby heard the sound of a missile. So you see, God Almighty is still in charge. And we haven't talked about the miraculous Bible in some time, but it appeared in the story appeared in the Johnstown Tribune, and my very elderly mother at that time, I think one of the reasons God let her live so long was so she could tell me about this article, that there were a couple people who got to the site in a hurry, and they didn't see much there because, you know, it was like, I think, sort of a wheel or something like that. And, of course, Lou, your research in 2002 into the local Pittsburgh papers, including the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, we featured this last year, so you could go into our archives and hear about this because our website is DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's our newest website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. And these papers reported bits of human beings' bodies and belongings as far away as 6 miles away at Indian Lake. This was 6 miles from the so-called crash site. Now, this would be very consistent with an explosion or a missile. So we need a lot of prayers. We really, really do, because this beginning judgment is now on America. And back to the Bible story, one of the people there was a priest. I think his name was Maurizio. The other one was a computer programmer, I think a teacher at the local school. And they saw this Bible, and I think that it was kind of singed on the outside, but I'm not certain about that until I would go back and recheck that piece. But it was open, and the pages were just a snowy white, unsinged everything. And I always forget whether it's First or Second Kings. Can you recall, Lou?
No, to tell you the truth, I can't.
Someone can look it up and, you know, no, it's the splitting of the kingdom. And we always thought that was a very interesting omen there. God is warning us that there will be a splitting of this kingdom unless we repent. And after some years went by, Pastor Jonathan Kahn brought out a book called The Harbinger. It was a very powerful book in which he equated the hubris or the pride, the arrogance of people like John Edwards and some other people in our government at that time who said, we will rebuild. And you see, they were really, without realizing it, they were speaking judgment because they were quoting Isaiah 9:11. Yes, I'm not kidding you. You look in your Bible. It's Isaiah 9:11 that the bricks are fallen, you see. And the people then said, but we're going to rebuild better than ever, better than ever. The hubris, you see. But when judgment comes, there won't be a lot of hubris. And afterward, after Ground Zero and all the hoopla, people returning to churches briefly and then tapering off, a tree was planted. It was supposed to be a sycamore tree, and it was a type of a tree that is called a sycamore, just like in those Bible verses in Isaiah. They were going to rebuild, and this tree near Ground Zero was called America's Promise, and it did not thrive. It died. Where are we at today with all the drag queen hours for children, all of the depravity, all of the killing of the babies, and we have a bombshell article to report tonight later. We need great prayer for this country to repent. Please put President Trump and his administration in your prayers. They have stood up against Planned Parenthood, and I'm sure that pleases the Lord. And President Trump is trying, we believe, to get us out of Afghanistan. And that's a very, very good thing, too. So now, after we've mentioned about Vice President Pence speaking there, I saw a little article about 9/11 firefighters may have higher heart risks now. This was in the AP, September 7th. Firefighters who arrived early or spent more time at the World Trade Center site after the 9/11 attacks seem to have a modestly higher risk of developing heart problems than those who came later or stayed less, doctors reported. And it does suggest that working at the site raised risk for some firefighters more than others. Those who arrived by noon that day had a 44% greater chance of suffering a heart problem in the years since the attack compared to firefighters who came hours or days later. Now, we also have had recent developments with the Firefighters Union and some engineering groups, and they have come out. These engineering groups would be like construction groups and engineering firms. They have studied it, and they said that there were bombs in towers 1, 2, and 7. And some of the first firemen on the scene, we remember in New York, they maybe some of the police heard explosives in the buildings. Lou, you have more to report.
I do. And we have an article here from BigLeaguePolitics.com. Entitled Study, Alaska University Says World Trade Center 7 Didn't Fall Due to Fire. A groundbreaking study conducted by the University of Alaska Fairbanks, UAF, has shown that fires did not cause Building 7 of the World Trade Center to fall during the September 11, 2001 attacks, disputing the official story. Researchers have produced a draft report of an in-depth four-year study into what brought down WTC-7, and discovered that the conclusions found by the National Institute of Standards and Technology could not have possibly taken place. Quote, fire did not cause the collapse of WTC-7 on 9/11, contrary to the conclusions of NIST and private engineering firms that studied the collapse. The secondary conclusion of our study is that the collapse of WTC-7 was a global failure involving the near simultaneous failure of every column in the building, the authors of the study concluded. It has long been speculated that World Trade Center 7 fell from a controlled demolition, not from office fires, as the feds have long told the public. This study bolsters the case made by the individuals who rejected the official narrative concocted by the globalist George W. Bush administration. The movement to re-examine what exactly happened during the 9/11 attacks has gained steam in recent months, as New York area fire commissioners approved a resolution this summer supporting a new investigation. The Franklin Square and Munson Fire District, which oversees a district of some 30,000 residents outside of Queens, passed a resolution on July 24th claiming that there is, quote, overwhelming evidence, unquote, that, quote, pre-planted explosives caused the destruction of the three World Trade Center buildings, unquote, said Commissioner Christopher Gayo. After the resolution was passed, quote, we're a tight-knit community, and we never forget our fallen brothers and sisters. You better believe that when the entire fire service of New York State is on board, we will be an unstoppable force. We were the first fire district to pass this resolution, and we won't be the last, Gayo said. New disclosures that illuminated previously unknown facts about who provided material support to the 9/11 attackers were released to the public in 2016, as 28 pages of the Joint Inquiry into Intelligence Activities Before and After the Terrorist Attacks of September 2001 were finally released to the public. This reignited public interest into the attacks as the unredacted information once again blew holes in the official story promoted by the feds and fake news media. The 28 pages demonstrate the Saudi Arabian government's intimate involvement in the 9/11 attacks. The pages contain evidence that the 9/11 attackers contacted and received support from individuals closely connected to the Saudi royal family. The report also indicated that CIA and FBI officers were aware of these connections, but they were mysteriously covered up. Quote, hopefully these pages will provide some resolution to the families of victims of the attacks and help our government craft better foreign policy moving forward, said Representative Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky. And he said that after those pages were released. While the globalists may want to close the door on the most substantial attacks on the United States in the nation's history, these startling revelations indicate that the public needs to know much more to understand what really took place and who were really responsible for what happened on 9/11. And I believe we also have something else here that's pertinent.
Yes, Lou, I think this shows us how the past and the present are all mixed up together. My goodness, it's none other than Robert Mueller.
That's exactly right. Now, we thought we had heard the last of Mr. Mueller and his Russia report, but here we have from WorldNet Daily on September 9th, 2019, an article entitled, Mueller Help Saudi Arabia cover up its role in 9/11 attacks. After his two-year special counsel probe, Robert Mueller declared that Russian interference in the 2016 election, quote, deserves the attention of every American, unquote. But former FBI investigators say that as director of the FBI, he showed no such concern when they uncovered a systematic effort by the Saudi government to assist the 9/11 hijackers, reports investigative reporter Paul Sperry in the New York Post. Sperry reported Mueller covered up evidence pointing back to the Saudi embassy and Riyadh, and he may have even misled Congress about what he knew. Some agents contend Mueller was merely following the orders of the Bush White House, said former agent Mark Rossini, quote, any letting the Saudis off the hook came from the White House. I can still see that photo of Bandar and Bush enjoying cigars on the balcony of the White House 2 days after 9/11. In any case, a 9/11 survivor who now is a plaintiff in a lawsuit against Saudi Arabia, Sharon Fromoli, noted that in October 2001, Mueller shut down the government's investigation after only 3 weeks. Fromoli said in an affidavit in the lawsuit that Mueller then, quote, took part in the Bush administration's campaign to block, obfuscate, and generally stop anything about Saudi Arabia from being released, unquote. Citing former FBI investigators, Sperry said Mueller put roadblocks in the path of his own investigators while making it easier for Saudi suspects to escape questioning. Then, according to the 9/11 lawsuit, he got rid of evidence his agents did manage to uncover. Former FBI agent Stephen Moore, who headed a 9/11 task force investigating local contacts made by two of the 15 Saudi hijackers, testified in an affidavit for the suit that, quote, diplomatic and intelligence personnel of Saudi Arabia knowingly provided material support to the two hijackers and facilitated the 9/11 plot, unquote. Yet he and his team were not allowed to interview them, he said. former FBI agent John Guandolo, who specialized in terrorist cases, said then-Saudi ambassador Prince Bandar, quote, should have been treated as a terrorist suspect, unquote, for giving money to a woman who funded two of the 9/11 hijackers.
And let me interrupt Lou for just a moment.
Yes.
Guandolo is that same person who outed the information that John Brennan had become Muslim at some point. So that's just an interesting little PS there.
Very interesting, yes. And the article goes on to say, instead, Mueller obliged Bandar's request within days of the attacks to help evacuate from the United States dozens of Saudi officials, including at least one Osama bin Laden relative on the terror watch list. Sperry reported that agents who should have been interrogating the Saudis instead acted as their bodyguards, ensuring their safe exit. In 2002, Mueller prevented agents from arresting the infamous al-Qaeda cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, I think is how you pronounce that, turning him over to a Saudi representative and allowing him to leave the United States. Said former agent for the FBI, Michael Biasello, quote, shortly thereafter, the Fort Hood shooting occurred, and al-Awlaki's fingerprints were all over that incident, unquote. Mueller even tried to shut down a congressional investigation into the Saudi hijackers and their contacts in Los Angeles and San Diego, said former Democratic Senator Bob Graham of Florida, who led the joint inquiry into or as Senate Intelligence Committee chairman. Graham said in a 2017 interview with Harper's Magazine that, quote, the strongest objections, unquote, to his staff investigators visiting FBI offices there came from Mueller himself. Sperry noted that Mueller, along with the White House, redacted 28 pages detailing Saudi 9/11 ties from the congressional report. Moore claims Mueller misled Congress in an October 2002 closed-door hearing. Mueller testified he found out about Saudi 9/11 connections only as a result of the congressional investigative work. But Moore said he gave Mueller daily, and that's in quotes, daily briefings on such connections in 2001. Mueller also testified the hijackers, quote, contacted no known terrorist sympathizers in the United States, unquote. But the FBI's own case files showed that they had contact with at least 14 terrorist suspects and sympathizers in the U.S. prior to 9/11. Former FBI agent Mark Walk said his former boss has a long history of acting as a servant of the deep state, and that's in quotes, servant of the deep state, the permanent D.C. ruling class.
And there was another headline from Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer, September 9th. Robert Mueller threw roadblocks in path of investigators working 9/11 case, allowed Saudis to elude questioning, and just a few little sound bites here. He was the master when it came to covering up the kingdom's role in 9/11, said survivor Sharon Primoli, who was pulled from the rubble of the World Trade Center 18 years ago. Isn't that a dramatic statement, Lou?
Oh, yes. It's
my goodness.
Surely is.
Eyewitness to this terrible, terrible tragedy. In 2002, Mueller prevented agents from arresting the Saudi-sponsored al-Qaeda cleric who privately counseled the Saudi hijackers, said Raymond Fournier, an agent with the Joint Terrorism Task Force in San Diego at the time. Quote, he was responsible for vacating the arrest warrant for Anwar al-Awlaki for passport fraud, Fournier said. He even ordered agents who detained the fiend at JFK to release him into the custody of a Saudi representative, Fournier said. The FBI closed their investigation of al-Awlaki, who was allowed to leave the U.S. on a Saudi plane. Shortly thereafter, the Fort Hood shooting occurred, and al-Awlaki's fingerprints were all over that incident, said former FBI agent Michael Biasello, who helped work the Texas terror case. At the same time, Mueller removed a veteran agent from investigating a tip that an advisor to the Saudi royal family had met with some of the Saudi hijackers at his home in Sarasota, Florida, effectively killing the case, according to the lawsuit. The home was suddenly abandoned 2 weeks before 9/11. While the Beltway media have portrayed Mueller as a by-the-book former Marine whose integrity is as square as a lantern-shaped jaw, That's his lantern-shaped job. A cop who can't be compromised, others know better. He's a villain and an arrogant one to boot, former FBI agent Mark Walk said, adding, and that's the quote you gave, Lou, that his former boss has a long history of acting as a servant of the deep state or the permanent D.C. ruling class. At the time of Hurricane Katrina, a hurricane that, according to some who have studied the visual footage, may have been an example of weather modification to intensify it, we recall some NWO or deep state probing gun confiscation attempts there at that time in New Orleans. President George Bush, when, and also those confiscation attempts to probe, were done in sort of the upper-class neighborhood, interestingly, not in the poor black area. President George Bush, when asked about gun confiscation at that time, remarked, interestingly, "It isn't the right time." No, we didn't have Alexa, and we didn't have Fitbit. We didn't have the Samsung TVs listening to you. We didn't have all this joining in this new program of HARPA, these listening peers in HARPA, to try to get the guns. And now, Lou, you have something important, an important letter to the editor by retired Joint Chiefs Action Officer Master Sergeant Al Cuppet.
This is a letter that Al wrote to his local newspaper in Virginia.
And it's very recent, probably July.
Yes, he just put summer of 2019, so it is recent. It's entitled Power Sources Being Stripped. To the editor, recent events prove that our deep state, plus the One World Order globalists, and our governor, and that, of course, is Virginia, plan to enslave the
Commonwealth. Oh, that's Governor Northam.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, the one who wants to keep the babies comfortable.
And then kill them.
Right.
That's right. Anyway, all these agencies, you might call them, deep state, One World Order, globalists, and Governor of Virginia, plan to enslave this Commonwealth and our republic by removing our final means of self-defense. That is the eventual confiscation of private firearms. Be advised, the first line of self-defense, the spiritual power source, was fervent prayer and the King James Authorized Version Bible. However, that avenue began to wane when both were removed from the school systems in the 1960s. Once weapons, the physical power source, are taken, whatever the pretense, you, dear reader, will cower at every sound in the night because your broken-down front door will be next. Tyranny shall rule when both power sources are finally eliminated. To wit, gun control always follows strict Bible control, or the influx of purposely perverted New Version Bibles. Did our 1984 yearbook at VMI, that's the governor he's talking about. Did our 1984 yearbook VMI governor think the, quote, powers of evil, unquote, would sit idly by after prayer and the AB Bible and eventually true born again Christianity were removed from our schools and then maybe even our churches? Dear reader, take heed because the final end of this republic has already begun, as President Trump and Republicans will have been blamed by a socialist-led press and the Democrats will skate free. However, only for a while shall they skate, because traitors are trusted by no one, not the betrayed, nor the overseers whom they worked for during the betrayal. Not one of us will get a final free pass. Not one. Remember, when America is burned down, there's nothing to replace it. Not a sermon, just some thoughts, learned in 30-plus countries, signed by Al Cuppet, Madison, Virginia.
Excellent, excellent letter. And, you know, it's so important for each of you to stand up and make a difference. Please tell others about this program. Please pray for Alex Jones at InfoWars, because we know that he has been bringing out truth for many, many years. He may not be a flawless, devoted biblical Christian, but he certainly has earned the heart of the Lord, I know, the approval for standing up for the little children, the children who are being aborted, the children who are being trafficked. So please pray for Alex Jones, and if you can support InfoWars, you go ahead. Lou and I can't support it all the time because we need our money for this program. But we did buy some selenium from him. It seemed quite good. We have some other products that we haven't tried yet that we bought. So we're just putting that out there for you to pray about, because yesterday he mentioned that he probably has enough money to last about a year. And so he's selling a lot of products at a low price right now, but that won't keep him going forever. And it's very important that we know the truth so that we can stand up. And we do ask you to prayerfully consider telling others about our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com, and go visit our archives. They've been interfered with a few times, but we think they're working right now. And it's so important that you tell others about our program. And if you would like to help us, you can send a little cash, postage stamps. You can send a money order made out to WWCR. We can't take personal checks. And you can write to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. When we do stand up, even an issue that has been suppressed as much as vaccines, just think what some parents can do. Here we have an article, and I believe this is at WorldNet Daily, and this was September 8th. Parents storm state capitals over vaccines. Baby shots used to be a boring subject. And this is by Jane M. Orient, M.D. Wow, there's a doctor on the side of these little children, Dr. Jane Orient. Baby shots used to be a boring subject and taken for granted. As the number of vaccines grew from 7 in the 1980s to 16, requiring 70 doses now, most parents obediently brought their children to the doctor when shots were due. The compliance rate was more than 90%. Parents who objected for one reason or another just got an exemption from school attendance mandates and kept quiet. Every state had a medical exemption, most had a religious exemption, and many had easily obtained philosophical or personal belief exemptions. Now that states are repealing exemptions, parents are descending on state capitals en masse, many with severely injured children in tow. Thousands rallied outside an Albany courthouse as a lawsuit challenging an end to religious exemptions was heard. Despite vociferous objections and attempts to disrupt hearings, the California legislature passed a law, SB 276, severely limiting medical exemptions, the only kind available. Oh, we leave it to California, don't we, Lou? Everything bad is always worse there. Rogue doctors were allegedly selling exemptions. That's a quote. The bill's author, Senator Richard Pan, M.D., said that everybody who really needed an exemption would get one. However, 882 out of 882 pediatric practices told a mother that they would not write an exemption for a child who had had anaphylactic shock. This life-threatening allergic reaction, which kills rapidly by closing off the airway, is one of the few allowable indications for an exemption. But now, a parent not willing to risk recurrence cannot send her child to school. Doctors are no doubt afraid of being targeted by the Medical Licensure Board. SB 276 mandates scrutiny of doctors who have issued more than 5 exemptions, including exemptions made before the bill takes effect. Parents are besieging legislators with reports of children who died or experienced devastating illnesses or disability after getting their shots. Interchanges on Twitter are passionate. One juxtaposed a sign saying, "Vaccinate your effing children," with a photograph of a gravestone and the message, "We did." Whatever happened to hundreds of once healthy children, it's impossible to prove that the shot did it. The public health dogma is vaccines are safe and effective. So safe and so effective that vaccines should be the exception to the rule that medical interventions are illegal and unethical without informed consent. Two articles in the fall issue of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons challenge the orthodoxy that vaccines should be mandated, overriding patients' liberties in an effort to eradicate vaccine-preventable diseases. How much risk can a person be compelled to take, even to save the life of another? In other contexts, such as exposure to radiation or lead, the risk of 1 in 10,000 or even less is considered unacceptable. Yet a much higher risk from vaccines cannot be ruled out. According to the most current information available, only 1% of serious side effects, such as death or permanent disability, are likely reported to the government's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. The 1905 Supreme Court precedent for upholding mandates, Jacobson versus Massachusetts, concerned a raging, deadly smallpox epidemic. Later courts have ignored warnings about the potential abuse of state police power and permitted mandates to prevent possible future epidemics of much milder diseases. Now a measles outbreak of some 1,200 cases, thankfully no deaths so far, has triggered the demand for stricter laws, suppression of anti-vaxxer information, and harsh measures, including $1,000 fines for refusing vaccination in Brooklyn. Even if at least a few of the tragedies are caused by a vaccine, isn't it worth it to wipe out dread diseases? In the 20th century, mankind seemed to be winning the war on microbes. Smallpox was eradicated, and antibiotics were vanquishing infectious diseases. The growing threat of microbial resistance has caused senior public health officials in the UK and the US to be concerned about the post-antibiotic apocalypse and the end of modern medicine. Dr. Andrew Wakefield asks, are vaccines destined for a similar fate? According to Dr. Wakefield, the return of measles is not the fault of anti-vaccinationists, but results from vaccine failure and escape mutants, viruses that elude vaccine immunity, the predictable outcome of selection pressures. Meanwhile, the toll of autoimmune diseases and neurodevelopmental disorders, including autism, continues to soar relentlessly without explanation. Parental outrage might cause re-examination of vaccine orthodoxy. It also raises the question of where to draw the line against encroachment of our freedom. And this article, you notice, did not mention the secret vaccine court. And we've heard about that. So, you know, we're not allowed to sue, but people can be paid off. And I believe that, according to InfoWars, Rod Rosenstein's sister was helping to run that facility. Now, we must move on now to find out what's going on in Europe. And Dan Lyman of EuropeWars.com reported on September 11th that NGO boats with migrants are now at Malta, and they're going to be stationed there. These are reports that these have been seen. You see, they're getting ready for another incursion. Poland, Bulgaria, Montenegro, he says, are much quieter than England, Germany, Sweden, the other countries where the illegal migrants have been brought in. And he says especially Poland is thriving. The cities are booming. There's prosperity on the rise. Many Germans have made exodus to Hungary. Migrants flooding into Greece. These numbers could now become worse than in 2016. Dan says that there have been a lot of populist uprisings, but Salvini has been dethroned for now. So Soros was connected to that, we hear, and that Conte will bring Italy probably back in line with the EU. So there's a massive subversion of the European populace. And this is not a real good sign. Dan Lyman says we are watching the unraveling of Western civilization. That's very important that we know what's going on. And how about Dark Age, Lou?
Yes, from the Hill, we have an article. Is a Dark Ages disease the new American plague threat? And this is also by a doctor, Dr. Mark Siegel. And this was dated September 8th, 2019. Diseases are re-emerging in some parts of America, including Los Angeles County, that we haven't commonly seen since the Middle Ages. One of those is typhus, a disease carried by fleas that feed on rats, which in turn feed on the garbage and sewage that is prominent in people-packed, quote-unquote, typhus zones. Although typhus can be treated with antibiotics, the challenge is to identify and treat the disease in resistant, hard-to-access populations, such as the homeless or the extremely poor in developing countries. I also believe that homeless areas are at risk for the re-emergence of another deadly ancient disease, leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease. Leprosy involves a mycobacteria. Tuberculosis is another such mycobacteria that is very difficult to transmit and very easy to treat with a cocktail of three antibiotics. Yet, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, there are more than 200,000 new cases of leprosy reported in the world every year, with two-thirds of them in India, home to one-third of the world's poor. The poor are disproportionately affected by this disease because close quarters, poor sanitation, and lack of prompt diagnosis or treatment easily can convert a disease that should be rare to one that is more common. Untreated, Hansen's disease causes disabilities over time, with the peripheral nerves affected and the fingers and toes becoming numb. Multibacillary Hansen's disease, the more serious version, can also cause skin lesions, nodules, plaques, and nasal congestion, with eye involvement, corneal ulcers, and sometimes blindness occurring. According to the CDC, there are between 100 and 200 new cases of leprosy reported in the U.S. every year. A study just released from the Keck Medical Center at the University of Southern California looked at 187 leprosy patients treated at his clinic from 1972 to 2018 and found that most were Latino, originating from Mexico, where the disease is somewhat more common, and that there was on average a three-year delay in diagnosis, during which time the side effects of the disease, usually irreversible even with treatment, began to occur. Leprosy is still more prevalent in Central America and South America, with more than 20,000 new cases per year. Given that, there is certainly the possibility of sporadic cases of leprosy continuing to be brought across our southern border undetected. And it seems only a matter of time before leprosy could take hold among the homeless populations in an area such as Los Angeles County, with close to 60,000 homeless people and 75% of those lacking even temporary shelter or adequate hygiene and medical treatment. All of those factors make a perfect cauldron for a contagious disease that is transmitted by nasal droplets and respiratory secretions with close, repeated contact. I am much more concerned about the permanent disabilities that come with leprosy, given that 2 million to 3 million people are affected worldwide, than I am with the associated stigma. Nevertheless, leprosy appearing among homeless in L.A. is a sure recipe for instant public panic. That was by Dr. Mark Siegel, who is a professor of medicine and medical director at Doctor Radio at NYU Langone Health.
Another big danger for our health, and perhaps, again, showing the judgment on America with all this incursion. And now we look back again. We said the past and the present are mixed up together. There was an article on PrisonPlanet.com, July 6, 2012. That's 7 years ago. Gates Foundation Depopulation Summit demands global approval. And we just give you a short bit about this, that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was focusing on population control through their global health development programs. By using citizens in underdeveloped nations like Africa and India as guinea pigs for their research and development for new interventions such as vaccines, drugs, and diagnostics, these globalists hope to ensure their family planning schemes are effective. Melinda Gates has made family planning and the population control agenda her personal mission. She justifies her cause by claiming that 100,000 women die in childbirth from unintended pregnancies. Although this statistic has no scientific basis, since it sounds good and mainstream media does not check facts, it has helped the BMGF team up with the British government to raise more than $4 billion to fund depopulation programs under the guise of bringing contraceptives to underdeveloped nations. The BMGF assert that by 2050, the global population is expected to grow to over 9 billion people, and this is unacceptable to them. And some of these strategies, you see, according to author Suzanne Posell, were to use financial influence to force governments and policymakers to implement their family planning schemes, empower NGOs who promote family planning propaganda, coerce the integration of family planning into all humanitarian efforts by using funds from the UN Global Fund, pour money into efforts that further family planning through national policy controls that adhere to the UN's Millennium Development Goals. And, of course, they went on to say how they partner sometimes with drug corporations, implants, fertility controls, and so forth and so on. And they were going to have this big family planning summit in July 11th of that year, 2012. Prior to this summit, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, IPPF, the modern version of the eugenics program founded by Margaret Sanger and Bill Gates' father, in the 1950s, will focus their efforts on coercing young people into supporting their family planning scheme by debating teenage pregnancy, unwanted births, and maternal morality as defined by the eugenics ideal. And now we have to look into the present again because there are things going on that we have to know about here. And if you'll just hold with me just a second here, we've had recent news, and this came from InfoWars and some other venues, like I believe one was ABC News, and this had to do with the involvement of, yes, Jeffrey Epstein with MIT. Supposedly he was working on things there connected with cloning, and with the Bill Gates Foundation. They were working there together at MIT, and that was an interesting little combination there. Alex Jones has said in the past he was one of the first people to expose the global sex trafficking blackmail ring, and that Jeffrey Epstein was a part of that. Then we had Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars, and he has his own website, I believe. Is it Summit News, Lou, do you recall?
I believe that's it.
I think it might be summit.news. And he was bringing out a news story that had been on a website. Was it New Pundit, I think, maybe, News? Anyway, the gist of this was there are reports now that before Jeffrey Epstein's death, the night before, he was moved to another, his roommate, rather, was moved to a new area of the prison. And then the next day, the day that he supposedly killed himself, a few hours before that, he was taken to another area, and that he was brought back in a wheelchair, slumped over, I think around 5 a.m., they said. So now we just wonder again, is this the same type of thing where people are shut up when they become a liability? They're taken out so that they don't reveal all the true evil that underlies so many of these things. I want to just check here also that we had heard that former FBI leader Ted Gunderson reported that the NWO Satanists like to compromise and sacrifice Down syndrome children especially, and that children's blood is valued to keep the royal families and the other elite young. Oh, don't you just want to throw up, Lou?
Oh, yes.
It's really terrible. So some of these evils are really bad, and ABC News actually praised Epstein by name, that he was working there at MIT, and at the he was also at the Albert Einstein Institute. So you see these details of Epstein working with Bill Gates. That's not a really good thing. And some of these details did come from the website TruePundit.com. And again, this information from TruePundit.com suggests he did not die in his cell, and that his cellmate was moved out the night before his death, and that Epstein was moved to another part of the prison facilities a few hours before his death. And Epstein, this is important, had threatened to unveil big names in order to receive a reduced sentence. And there are these reports after 5 a.m. of him being brought back in a wheelchair, slumped over. Now, the evil has spread like just we can't imagine. It's not just these evil billionaires who have all their global plans. It's people, people you and I see out on the street. They're doing such terrible, terrible, terrible things. And we have to get in. We're going to run out of time. We'll have to get into, yes, the drag queens being promoted, the little Down syndrome children, even in New York Times. Next week we're going to have to tell you this, but I must get to the key article right here now, on Wednesday, September 11th, InfoWars, Alex Jones reported on a hospital in Illinois named Christ Hospital. Now, this is going to just... I don't know what it's going to do to you when you know the name of this hospital and what it's doing. In Oaklawn, Illinois, a nurse has discussed her part, or seeing it. The babies were born alive, just the way Governor Northam suggested. There's a comfort room, Lou, in this hospital. And after these babies, who are arriving intact, alive, in the abortion field, they're put there, and sometimes they put a blanket around them, and they say that they let them there till they die. But parents, for the first time, they have a new offer there in the hospital. They can get a picture of their aborted baby, you see, the one they didn't want. They can sit in a rocking chair. They can hold the baby if they want to. Alex Jones was horrified. He said creeping death is now galloping death. And this nurse discussed how she held a Down syndrome baby for 45 minutes. The parents did not want to touch him or be with him. And then there were some clips of some people there, I think, at the hospital that they said babies are tapeworms. A fetus is a parasite. 3 years old is when we should stop aborting babies. This is too hideous for most of you to imagine, but you see, this is a real place. Christ Hospital in Oaklawn, Illinois. And these babies who were born alive, you know, they're kept so they can get the organs and sell them. And InfoWars said that this is probably very truthful, that none of the MSM, not even Fox, will report on keeping these babies alive to get the organs. It's a big, big business, and they won't really report on child trafficking. I don't think that you people want to follow MSM too much anymore. We had so much more. And Planned Parenthood validates the work of the Center for Medical Progress, admits in court to fetal trafficking. We'll have to pick up these stories next week because, you see, we're living in a country that could still be so beautiful, so wonderful. Not like Sweden. We'll tell you more about that next week. Municipality inundated with Muslim migrants and money crisis. Tax-paying natives flee. They're going to Hungary. They're going to Poland. Will that be the place of the last stand for Christians? We had some other radio personality ask that one time. We don't know. But please pray for President Trump and his administration. Please pray for the truth to get out. Please visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others about our program. We love you, and we thank you for your letters. Good night.